Wednesday the 11th of February, Yud Zayin Shvat, Rabbi Sholom Siegel, Snakes and Ladders.
As you may well have guessed, obviously this show is not actually not really connected with the board game. Sorry, I had to disappoint. And in fact, it wasn't actually my idea. The title wasn't even my idea. In fact, it will be to do with Snakes and Ladders, but a different title of Snakes and Ladders, and that is that of Yitzhak Mitzrayim and Matan Torah. We'll see. The Gemara says in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Mem Vov, that when Klal Yisrael encamped, when they reached Har Sinai, it says at that point, Tofka Zuamo, that the impurities, the filth, the vermin which had been injected into Chava at the time of the first sin of mankind, it was rejected, it was expelled from the body. Implying that somehow Matan Torah was a rectification, it was a tikkun for the chet of Adam Horishon, the first sin of mankind. And the question is obviously what we're going to try and do in this half hour or so is to try and understand the connection between the two, between the chet of Adam Horishon and the and Ma'amad Har Sinai. So in order to do this, we'll go back to Parsha Shemos. In Parsha Shemos, it says that when Moshe Rabbeinu, when he went out to see how his brethren were doing, it says that he found Dothan and Aviram, they were arguing, right? They were fighting. And it says, Vayema the Rosh, and he said to the evil one, Nomasak Eriacha, why are you about to hit, to smite your friend? So the whichever one it was replied to him, he says, Do you think I don't know? I realize that you were the one who killed the Mitzri, the Egyptian, in the previous story in that parasha. He says, I know about it. And I'm going to go and tell Paro. So it says, Moshe said at that point, he says, Vayira Moshe got all afraid, because he said, Achei no dahadova, now the matter has become known. And the obvious pshat is that he was afraid that the matter was going to become known to Paro, and as a result of that, he starts to begin to plan his escape. However, Rashi says that actually Chazal say it means something else as well. Achei no dahadova means like this. Moshe said, he said, I never understood, I've always been perplexed, I always wanted to know, why is it Klal Yisrael who have been subjugated to such suffering, to such backbreaking labor? Why? What have Klal Yisrael done to deserve such a punishment, such a treatment? And he said, now I understand, upon seeing this, I can see the Lashon Hara prevalent within the nation, now I understand that they are Ru'uyim Lekach, they are fitting for this. And the question is obvious. Right? We're talking about Dothan and Aviram here. They weren't the most righteous of people within Klal Yisrael. Number two, they haven't actually spoken Lashon Hara yet. They threatened to go and tell Paro. So how could Moshe have said, because we see two people who are threatening to speak Lashon Hara, and remember these two people, as we said, were not the biggest tzaddikim within Klal Yisrael, and he says, because of you two, I can see, I must be, that it must be Lashon Hara is within Klal Yisrael, and that's the reason why the whole nation is going to be subjugated to 210 or 400 years, depending on at that point what was going to happen. Because of these two people, you can see, this is, if you want a lens for the, to, in order to discover the problem within the whole of Klal Yisrael. What was Moshe Rabbeinu saying there? The second question is just a slight question on the terminology here. What's the they are ruuyim lekach? What does it mean they are fitting for this? Implying that it doesn't say that you could say it means deserving. But the question is what does it mean they are ruuyim lekach? They are fitting for this punishment. It sounds like it's some sort of zuchus, it's some sort of merit possibly to go down to Mitzrayim. What's the lashon ruuyim lekach? In order to answer this, let's go back once again to the first, as we said, the first sin of mankind with Adam HaRishon. It says that prior to the chet of Adam HaRishon, it says that Adam walked in Gan Eden together with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He had absolute clarity of vision. He was able to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it were. Right? There was nothing. There was no impediment there. As Chazal tell us, at that stage, he had kosmos Ur with an Adam. It was light. Everything was clear. The Yitzhahara, as the Chaim Velozhin tells us, was outside, it was external from the body. There was nothing, no chatzitz, there was no division between him and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Comes along the Rosh HaShakadma, and he tells Chava, you should eat from Eitz Hadas. Because you know why HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want you to eat from it? Because he's scared. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is scared. If you eat from it, just like he did, what the Nocha said, you'll also become a god, and he's afraid of competition. So he spoke Lashon Hara. Right, that was the famous Lashon Hara, the Lashon Hara against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the first Lashon Hara of mankind, within mankind. And as a result of that, we know what happened. Chava partook of the forbidden fruit, and she gave it to Adam HaRishon as well, and they were then expelled from Gan Eden. And at that stage, they had to put on Kosmos Ur with an iron. Now there was a partition. now there was a division between them and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore they had to be expelled from Gan Eden. But why? What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu say? Why did they have to get out of Gan Eden? Because I'm afraid they're going to eat from the Eitz HaChaim. Right? And if they eat from the Eitz HaChaim, they'll live forever. What are these two things? So you've got the Eitz HaDaas Tov V'Ra, which they were told they couldn't yet eat from. And you've got the Eitz HaChaim, which now HaKadosh Baruch Hu says now they can't eat from. Because the Eitz HaChaim, that is Torah. Right? Eitz HaChaim Hina Machzikim Bo, that represents Torah. Once a person has succumbed to Lashon Hara, which is the antithesis to Torah, as we'll explain soon, then he says you can't eat from the Eitz HaChaim. You're not yet ready for Matan Torah. You're not yet ready to have the Torah. And as a result of that, they were taken out of Gan Eden. And now they were to have to work, and the Yitz HaHorah was from within, and we know, we're told that that's Lashon Hara, the Nochash HaKadmoni symbolized the Yitz HaHorah. It was if you want the Makor, it was the source of strength from which Harmonic and Esav and all their like would draw their strength. And that was going to be, that was the stage following the Chet of Adam HaRishon. Comes along the Ovis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and it's their job now to start the tikkun, start the rectification. And we know Avraham, then Yitzchak, and then comes Yaakov, the Bechish of Ovis, who's going to unite the two. Yaakov was the middle of Achdus, the complete, as we said, the antithesis to Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara being the idea of division and arguments and strife. And Yaakov was the complete opposite. We know he's the middle of Achdus. The 12 stones all became one around his head. He was the middle of Achdus. He was going to rectify this. And that's why he was the one who had the power of the code of Yaakov. Right? The code of Yaakov symbolized Torah. He was an Ishtar Yosef Ahorim, a person who spent his life sitting in the tents of Torah. That was what Yaakov had, and that was why he was going to be the one to be able to overcome and to rectify the mistake of the Nochash HaKadmoni. And that's what he did. Yaakov then fought with the Tsar of Esav. Again, as we said, Esav, Amalek, they all come to the same point, and it says that when it came to they fought Ad Aleph HaShachar until the first rays of light, which we know refers to the Zman of Geula. And it says at that point he overcame the Tsar of Esav. And what was his name? It says his name was given at that point. He was already, the name for the future would be Yisrael. Why did him Yisrael? Ki Sarisa Imelekim Ve'yemanoshim Al-Tuchol. Because you have overcome celestial beings. Which the Rashba explains in Chiddush HaGadol in Brachos, he explains, what does the name mean? He says that all the nations of the world, they have intermediaries. They have people who go between them and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They have Sorin. Whereas we have a direct line. We pick up the phone and we speak directly to Hashem. There's no divisions, nothing between us and Hashem. That's what the name Yisrael symbolizes. It represents our direct connection with Hashem, with no chatzitzus, no divisions, no yitzhar, nothing. That's what the name Yisrael symbolizes. However, it says in the Pasuk, Vayigal b'chaf yerechem. Right, that the Tsar of Esav, it got an idea in there, as if to say that not yet, the time hasn't yet come for the name Yisrael. It will come in the future. When the final Geula comes, we would assume the name Yisrael, but not yet. Until for now, you're still with the Bnei Yaakov. As we know, when they went down to Mitzrayim, they still went down as the Bnei Yaakov. So Ramban points out, they still went down as the Bnei Yaakov. The time is not yet right. So therefore, this was the name. This Yaakov was already, if you want, set the forerunner for what was going to come. And this was going to repeat itself throughout history. The idea of fighting this sin being Lashon Hara, and it's up to us to try and overcome that and to assume the next level, which is going to be Yisrael. So now Moshe Rabbeinu, now we can come back to Moshe Rabbeinu. He says, I don't understand. What have Klal Yisrael done to deserve such harsh labor, such suffering? He says, now, he says, it wasn't just the sword, Dothan Avir on fighting, he said, oh, this must be the cause. He saw this as a sign from Shemayim. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu was sending him a message, this is why they're in Mitzrayim. You want to know why it's Klal Yisrael, why not Bnei Esav, why not Bnei Yishmael, why is it Klal Yisrael? The answer is, because the reason why they're in Mitzrayim is because, as you know, it's the goddess Hazibur, it's because of the sin of Lashon Hara. And they're the ones who possess the antidote to Lashon Hara. As the Gemara says in Kiddushin, Borofi Yitzhara, Borofi Teira Tavlin. What is the antidote? What is the remedy? What is the potion to fight off the Yitz HaHorah? The answer is Torah. Who are the ones who possess the kelim, the necessary equipment to receive the Torah? That's Klal Yisrael. As we know, Klal Yisrael, they are the ones with the code of Yaakov. They have the necessary weapons and artillery to overcome this. Therefore, they are the ones who, they are Ru'im Lekach. That's what it means, Ru'im Lekach. They are fitting for this. Esav already, he shuts off the responsibility. He said, I'm not interested in going down to Mitzrayim. I'm not interested in coming to Eretz Yisrael. I don't want any of it. Right? Rashi tells us in Parashat Vayeshlach. But Yaakov, he is the one who is roi lekach. They have the wherewithal to overcome the and to rectify the mistake of the Nachash HaKadmon. We then continue on, and we find that Aaron is told to take the staff and to throw it down in front of Paro, and it would change into a snake. The Medrash, and Rashi brings down this Medrash, tells us the reason we find by Dom, Tfadeh, and Kinnim, the first three makos were performed by Aaron. Why? Because Dom, Tfadeh, both of them involved hitting the water. And Moshe out of Akara Tatoit, he felt he couldn't, obviously he couldn't hit the water because the water had protected him when he'd been put into the Nile as a baby. So he said, I can't hit the water. And what about Kinnim? Kinnim also involved, it says he had to hit the ground. And the ground as well, he felt Akara Tatoit, because the ground had concealed the mystery which he had killed. So again, he felt Akara Tatoit. But what about throwing down the staff? The Medrash doesn't deal with this question. Who threw down the staff? Who threw down the mace? It was Aaron, once again. The first Moshe, who threw it down, it was Aaron, not Moshe. And the question is why? Why not Moshe? It doesn't say he had to hit the ground, it says he threw down the staff. So the question is, why was it Aaron? And I think the answer is this again. Let's understand what happened. What was the message within the staff? Right. The staff was from where? The Shlach HaKadosh tells us the staff came from the Eitz HaChaim. Right? The Shlach came from the Eitz HaChaim. That was Torah. Eitz HaChaim Hilam HaChatzikim Bo. The staff changed into what? The snake. The snake being the cause of the reason for their goddess, which was Lashon Hara. So what was the message here? What was the message when he took the staff and he threw it down? It was as if to say that the reason why you're in Mitzrayim is because you took the code of Yaakov. You took the power of speech and you misused it. Not necessarily you, but it was misused, and that's why you're here. You're here to rectify that and bring it back, to change the staff back, sorry, change the snake back into the staff once again. That's your job in Mitzrayim. Paro was the embodiment of the snake. The Shlach says, that is Paro spelled out Te'ofer. Right? Te'ofer. Which refers to the snake, which post the sin. Following the sin, the snake was, slithered through the earth. That was what Paro embodied. They were subjugated to Avodas Perach. Right? The Lashon Perach were told, where does the word Perach come from? Perach. It was because of the smooth talk of Paro, they were lured into the trap of, eventually falling into the trap of serving in Mitzrayim. Where was that rooted? That was rooted in the Perach of the Nachash HaKadmoni. The smooth talk of the Nachash, right, the first snake which came to the Chavah, and enticed her and lured her into the trap of eating from the fruit. Right, this was what was going on over there. And Paro was, if you want, he was a Nachash HaKadmoni. Moshe and Klal Yisrael were here to overcome Paro. So what happens now? He's told to take this staff, take this and throw it down. And that's what he did. So now Klal Yisrael, if you want, to being told to, the reason why you're here is why? Because of the chess of Lashon Hara. What does the Pasuk then say? Vayivla mate Aaron es matosa. And Rashi notes, it doesn't say that the snake swallowed up the snakes of the other magicians. It says the mate. Why does that? The answer is the same, once again. They're being told a message here, that if you want to overcome the nations of the world, if you want to come out of Mitzrayim, if you want the Geula, you have to assume the middle of the mate. That is the ready yourself for Matan Torah. That is, get rid of the rid yourselves of the middle of the Nachash HaKadmoni. Rid yourselves of the Lashon Hara. Get rid of the Machlokes. Because as we said, there's two opposites. We know that Lashon Hara is on. The Gemara says in Yerushalmi Peah, it says that Lashon Hara is Keneged Kulam. You know, Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam. We said. You have on the next parallel you find is that Lashon Hara. Chazal Terach Chavetz Chaim brings this down many times, that Lashon Hara is responsible for the death of many, especially three people. Ha'omre, the one who says it, Ma'am Kablo, the one who accepts it, U'mishan Amalov, the one who is said about. Talmud Torah is the key to life, Kiyem Chayenu. And finally we find that Lashon Hara, the Rambam says in Hilchos Teshuvah, the Baal Lashon Hara, anyone who habitually speaks Lashon Hara, he's lost his chedek in Olam Haba. What is the key to Olam Haba? That's Torah. If somebody is a Baal Lashon Hara, somebody who is literally, he owns Lashon Hara, he is a man of Lashon Hara, he can't be a Baal Torah, because the two are opposites. They both use the tongue. They both use the tongue, and therefore if a person is a Baal Lashon Hara, he can't be a Baal Torah. The Gemara says in Avodah Zarah that somebody, if the Pasuk says originally it's Toyach Hashem Chesto, and then it says if it's Torah, so Yega Yemam Aloyla, says the Gemara, whose Torah is it? Is it Hashem's Torah, or is it the Torah of man? Says the Gemara, depends. Prior to his Igiyah, prior to his being Yege Yom HaValoyla, it's Hashem's Torah. When a person's Yege Yom HaValoyla, day and night, he tells in Torah, he lives by the Torah, he's a Baal Torah, then it becomes his. And if you want that to his passport, say that my book. If a person wants to go from one country to another, they have to have a passport. But it's no good if I take your passport and I want to go. They want your picture, they want your identity, they want your pass. So to here, it's no good if you take Hashem's Torah with you and you say, I want to go and say it on my book. It has to be your Torah. That's your pass, that's your passport. If a person's a Baal Lashon Hara, if he owns that Lashon Hara, if you want, then he can't be a Baal Torah. So therefore we're told that this was the message for Klal Yisrael. But Yidla Mase Aaron is Maseism. If you want to overcome the nations of the world, if you want to swallow them up, you have to first assume the Mase, rev yourself to Matan Torah, get rid of the Nachash, get rid of the Machlekes amongst you. And that's why it was Aaron who performed this motive. Because we know Aaron was a man who was Oyev Shalom v'Oyev Shalom. He was the one who embodied this idea of making Shalom ben Ish l'Ishtai, making peace, unity within Klal Yisrael. And therefore it was he who, not to say that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have this, but that was the middle which, if you want, Aaron specialized in, and that was why he was the one, he was the messenger to relay this idea to Klal Yisrael. And Kachava, that's what happened. We went from the snakes up the ladders all the way up to Matan Torah. And Matan Torah says, Vayichan Shom Yisrael Neged Ahar, the Klal Yisrael encamped at Har Sinai. And we know Vayichan is singular, and the famous words of the Mechil Sarashi brings, Ki Ish Echol Berev Echol, we were united. There was no more Machlekes, no more strife, no more Lashon Hara, none of this was all gone. And as a result of that, then we were ready to receive the Torah. We were now ready to receive the Eitz HaChaim, the Eitz HaChaim, the Tree of Life, that is Torah. We had reassumed the state that Adam Harishon had held prior to the Chet, and that's why the Gemara says Poska Zuamo. At that state, the impurities, the if you want, the Kofes of Amalek, Esav, and all of that has all been taken out. We've just overcome Amalek, right, having come out of Mitzrayim. We were now ready to receive the Torah, because now, and not only that, we were ready to marry it. Chazal tells us we were ready to marry, as it were, to marry our Kodesh Baruch Hu, Kachos and Vekado, because now there was no division. Once again, as Reb Chaim Volozhin says, Nefesh HaChaim, the Yetzer was taken out of our body. This Zuamo, this filth of the Yetzer was taken out, and now we are ready to receive the Torah. What does Chazal tell us in Matan Torah? It says that when we heard Onichi Hashem Elokecha, what happened? Torcha Nishmosam. Then Hashemah broke free. The simple understanding is, what does that mean? Because they were sort of so shocked at hearing the voice of Hashem, so they died. Right? According to what we're saying, it means more than that. Torcha Nishmosam means now their Neshama was ready to break free. There was nothing impeding, no obstacles in the way, no earthly ties which would stop them coming back to Hashem. So the minute they heard, Anichi Hashem Elokecha, I am Hashem, the God, so the Neshama said, let me go, I want to go back, I want to embrace Hashem. And therefore the Neshama went out. What happened? There was Tchiyas HaMeitim, and the Neshama came back in. Ramchal says in Derech Hashem, what is the Inyan of Tchiyas HaMeitim? Tchiyas HaMeitim is the time when it's because of the Chet of Adam Rishon that we have to have Tchiyas HaMeitim. But the idea is that the Neshama will go back into the body and it will raise the body up to the level of the Neshama. He says prior to the Chet of Adam Rishon that wouldn't have been necessary. Automatically a person could have come into the world, the Neshama would have been able to raise the Guf, it would have raised it up to the same level, there would have been no divisions, nothing. But after the Chet, that now it was necessary to undergo Misa, and then once again Tchiyas HaMeitim. This is what's going on here between the two. We went from the Lashon Hara to the Matan Torah. And then this idea is repeated throughout the history of Klal Yisrael. Let's go back to Yosef. Yosef went down to Mitzrayim. He was the forerunner. Right? What was the cause of him going down to Mitzrayim? He spoke Lashon Hara about his brothers. Says the Prophet Chaim, of course, he had all the heterim in the world. He had all the justifications and he knew what he was doing. It says the Prophet Chaim, soft called soft, he spoke Lashon Hara, and that was the cause for the Yerida to Mitzrayim. What do we find? When the brothers finally came down together with Yaakov, the final descent to Mitzrayim, what does it say? It says that Yaakov sent he sent Yehuda ahead to do what? To set up a Beis HaMedrash. But again, they went from the Lashon Hara of Yosef to finally this Achdus coming back together, uniting as one, all the 12 brothers with Yaakov their father, all as one. And what happened at that point is Yaakov came in, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, they were now united with Hashem as one. And what happens, Yaakov says, but at this point you have to set up the Beis HaMedrash. Now is the time for Torah. Again, this is just, he's setting up for what's going to come. This was going to be, this was going to repeat itself with Klal Yisrael enslavement to Mitzrayim and finally ascending to Matan Torah. It's less than a month to Purim. Let's take Purim as another example. The first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of what? So we know there's one Gemara which says because of the three cardinals, right? Gilaroi, Shvichatonim, and Avodah Zarah. But there's also another Gemara, how we reconcile them is not for now, but the Gemara says in the Dorim, Amot of Haaretz, right, why were we exiled from Eretz Yisrael? The answer is, Al Shele Boko Batsayo Batsayo. Because they didn't make Birkat HaTayo, is a simple understanding. So the Ram brings down from the Rabbeinu Yonah, what it basically means is there was a lack of Chashivas for Torah. Right? There was a lack of Chashivas for Torah. Again, the tongue wasn't as it should have been. So what happened? So he went into exile. What happens right at the end of the exile, who comes along? It's Haman. Haman, who is now Amoreki, but more than that. The Gemara says in Chulet, Remez, Haman min Atayim Minayim. Where do we find the Remez? Where do we find an allusion to Haman in the Torah? What's the Tosuk? Hamin Ho'et, Asher Tzilisi, Cholavilti Achom, Menu Acholta. Did you eat from the tree, which I told you not to? The Gemara says, Haman, Hamin, same letters. But it's not just the same letters. If it was just the same letters, I'm sure the Gemara could have found allusions to many other people. Why did you just pick out Haman? The answer is again, where did Haman come from? Haman was a result of his Amalek. Where did Amalek come from? Amalek never would have come into the world had they not eaten from the, had they not sinned. Amalek was a result of the Nochash HaKadmoni. And therefore, that's where Haman drew his strength from. That's where Haman came from. It was as a result of the first threat. That's where Haman came from. But more than that, there's actually an amazing Kriyoto which says that Haman, you may be surprised by this, but it says Haman was a Gilgal. He was a reincarnation of the Nochash HaKadmoni. I don't know where he gets that from, that's what he says. Maybe the Arizal says this. He was actually a Gilgal of the Nochash HaKadmoni. So we have this replaying again. This is the end of the goddess, the first goddess. And you've got Haman who comes along, and what happens? Klal Yisrael, what does it say at the end of it? Kima v'kiblu v'mashu kibbutu kavar. Once again, there's a Matan Torah. Right? Now we don't find here necessarily there was Lashon Hara, there was anything like that. That was why the first goddess was only 70 years. Because there wasn't so much to rectify. It was just they were lacking the Torah, therefore they had to be, Haman came along, right? Haman in the guise of Amalek. Once we defeated Amalek, once we defeated Haman, what happens? Again, we were ready to come back and keep moving, keep the march, keep the kavar. We reassert, if you want, we reinstated that love which we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That was with Haman. We find that Yaakov Avinu, when he on the first night, when he had Leah there, Rachel or Leah, whichever one he was going to marry, we know that he gave over to Rachel. He gave her simonim. What were the three? We're told that she was given three simonim. What were these three simonim? So the Chesed Avram, that's the grandfather of the Chidor, he says that these three simonim were as follows. On the first night, at the time when Rachel or they, whoever was going to be, were going to be together with Yaakov, he said, at that time I want you to take hold of my right ear, my right earlobe, my right thumb, and my right toe. Right, my right big toe. Those were the simonim. He goes on to explain that Alpi Kabbalah, which I don't know what he means, but based on what we've said, it makes a lot of sense. Where else do we find these three Avorim? By the person who gets Sarah. The person who gets Saras, what's his tara, what's the purification process? They take the blood and they put it on the right earlobe, the right thumb, and the right big toe. Says the Al-Sheikh HaKadosh, why these three Eivorim? Says the Al-Sheikh, because when a person, it seems he's speaking more about Rechidus as opposed to Lashon Hara, he says when a person speaks to Rechidus, what happens is, a person says to Reuven, do you know what Shimon did to you? So Reuven gets all infuriated, and he goes and he kills Shimon. We know it leads to Shlichus Domin. So therefore the first person he's responsible for is the person who accepted it. That's Reuven. That's the ear, because he made him listen and accept the Lashon Hara. But then Reuven went and killed him. So that's also he's responsible for the murder which was done by Yodayim. Hayodayim is Esau, right? Murder is something which belongs to Esau, so that's the Yodayim. But then now what's going to happen? Reuven's going to get all scared. He's scared of the Ger Adom, whether different opinions in the Rishonim, whether there would be a Ger Adom in such a case, the Dom Benezer. But either way, he's scared of the family who are obviously going to be enraged. So he runs off, and he gets killed though, because the girl Adon comes after him and he gets killed. So once again, he's responsible for Reuven's blood, who ran off fled on his feet, and that's why we put the blood on these three places. The ear, the person who accepted it, the hands, because that was what he used to kill the first person, and the legs, because he fled and was eventually killed. And then what happens? We take the oil, says the Al-Sheikh, and the oil is, if you want, is purified those three Eivorim. The blood is to symbolize that, and we put it on the same places in order to be matar of those people. Yaakov Avinu said on that first night, he said that this first night was the moment he was about to set the foundations for Klal Yisrael. This was the moment he was going to set the foundation for the whole of Klal Yisrael, the Shoroshim of Klal Yisrael. He said, I know what I'm in this world for is the code of Yaakov, is to rectify the chet of Lashon Hara. I have to be Mekadosh these Zevorim. Therefore he said at this point when he was about to start the process of the 12 Shavuotim, which would all unite, which has already united round his head in with the 12 stones, he said, take hold of these three Zevorim. Let's be Mekadosh these Zevorim together. Let's be Mekadosh it against the Lashon Hara. Going back to Haman. Haman, we know, he set up gallows 50 amos high. 50 amos high. And we know in the end he was hanged on those gallows himself, on the gallows which were 50 amos high. There were 50 days, we know Shavuos was on the 50th day. And we're told that the 50th day is Yovel, that refers to the time of Moshiach, the time when we will be freed. We're still in Golus, says the Chofetz Chaim, the second day Hamikdash was destroyed because of what? Because of Lashon Hara. Sinas Chinam. But says the Chofetz Chaim, he brings proof to it, but that means Lashon Hara. With the destruction of the first base Hamikdash, there was still Avo, there was still unity within Klal Yisrael. Since there was unity, therefore, they could still, after 70 years, they could come back. They lacked the Torah, though. Note that in the second base Hamikdash, they didn't have the Orin. They no longer had the Orin. But as long as they had the Kuruv in there, they had the unity amongst them, they were able to come back once again. But once that went, once the Kerubim, once the Arbor within Klal Yisrael was destroyed, then it spelled trouble. That spelled trouble. And because of that, we're still in God. We find the Gemara says in Bava Basra that when the Romans came to take them out into exile, it says they went into the Kodesh Kodashim and they took out the Kerubim. And they found the Kerubim embracing one another. That's obviously rather surprising because we're told that the Kerubim faced away from one another at a time when they weren't doing the Rotson of Hashem. So obviously this was the time they weren't doing the Rotson of Hashem. So what was going on here? The answer seems to be very positive. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling Klal Yisrael, I could have destroyed you. After Shalom, this could have been done against you. I did it against Eitan Vavonim. If you want to survive this goddess, it's going to be a hard goddess. It's a very bitter goddess. But if you want to survive it, the key to it is embracing one another, to stick together, to bear each other's troubles, to share in each other's simchas. That's the only way you're going to come through this goddess. As we know, the Gemara says, what can a person do? How can we be saved from the sufferings of the times of Moshiach? The answer is two things. Torah and Gemilas Chasodim. Because Torah without Gemilas Chasodim is nothing. Gemilas Chasodim is the unity which is the basis for the Torah. You can't come to Matan Torah while there's this machlokes within Klal Yisrael. This is the message, this is the way we're going to come through it. As we said, Haman, he set up these gallows in order to hang Mordechai, and in the end, those 50 amos was the time we were subjugated, we were under the rule of Achashverosh and Haman, but it came the end of it, and and Haman himself was hanged upon those gallows, and we went out free, just like the Eved Olam, who goes out at that time, he stays in Eved Tah Kodesh Baruch Hu, he will be in Eved Tah Hashem at that time, in Eved Olam Tah Kodesh Baruch Hu. And Be'ezat Hashem, we take this message of this week with Matan Torah. This week was Tu Bishvat. Just as a last thought, just as like an idea with numbers here, is actually Tu Bishvat is 310 days following the start of Yetzias Mitzrayim. I say the start, which was Rosh Chodesh Nisan. HaChodesh HaZelochem was 310 days. We know that Shavuos, this week Tadra Shavuos with Matan Torah, was the time, the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, is the time when the Ilonis, the trees, are judged. When do they blossom? That's Tu Bishvat, 310 days following the beginning of Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Gemara says, the Mishnah, the last Mishnah in Uktan says, that a person, and it's explained by, the, I think it's the Mishnah Acharonah there, I think, who says that the 310 Ilonis, which a person is promised, that refers to somebody who learns Torah, somebody who's Osek in Torah. How does the Mishnah finish off? The last words in Shas, is if you want the bracha, if you want the blessing which comes with it, ain't kli mafsik bracha, right? There's no receptacle which is roi, which is fitting to take this bracha, elo hasholim. It only comes with peace. That's the only way you can come to the shayi olamis. You can come to the true meaning of Torah. And Be'ezat Hashem, we should all be zeicha to take the message from this week's sefer and be zeicha to the final Torah.